Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Dog River Marina and Boat Works, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guide and Magazine, Green Turtle Bay Resort, Marina Life, Richardson's Map Tech, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, and Skipper Bob Publications invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you whether you're dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit our ship store at www.greatloop.org. Ship store. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone. As usual, we are here with our home port crew on Friday morning from America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We are broadcasting live from the Palm Beach Boat Show today, and I think it'll be an exciting show. For those new listeners, America's Great Loop Cruisers is an association of people dreaming about doing or having done the Great Loop. There is a continuous waterway that goes around the eastern portion of North America. Many people don't know about it, so if you'd like to read more, go to our webpage at www.greatloop.org. Please welcome our co-hosts, Captains Chris and Elise from Captains Chris Yacht Services, and Rob Dorfmeyer, the publisher of Passage Maker magazine and Trawler Fest, will join us too. Chris and Elise provide on-the-water training for new cruises, and they will again be visiting us from the boat show. Both Captain Chris Yacht Services and Passage Maker Trawler Fest are very valued sponsors of AGLCA. During the show, if anyone has any questions for Chris or Elise or Rob, you're free to call in. In fact, we encourage it. The number is 877-497-1815, and it is toll-free. Okay, Captain Chris, why don't you take the floor?
Good morning. This is Chris, and I'm at Trawler Port at the Palm Beach Boat Show in sunny, hot Florida. We're on ramp 1 Alpha 1A at the northern end of the Palm Beach Boat Show, and I'm in the Trawler Port tent along with Rob Dorfmeyer, publisher of Passage Maker magazine and Trawler Fest, Trawler Port. Let me welcome you to Florida, and let me welcome Rob Dorfmeyer and introduce him so he can give us a general overview of the boat show.
Hey, Chris. Thanks much. We certainly miss you, Elise. I wish you were here in our booth with us. It's a floating booth, as Chris had mentioned, right off of ramp 1A, kind of behind the cocktail barge. And there are many, many, many boats here, gosh, all sizes, colors, and shapes. But I'd like to review just a couple that serve our niche and certainly provide that kind of a vessel that I think is pretty stereotypical for all you AGLCAers out there. Or wannabes. We're surrounded on either side by Katie Krogan Yachts, which is their new 52. It actually won a Trawler Fest People's Choice Award this past January in Fort Lauderdale, and on the other side of our booth is the Katie Krogan Express 52. So if you have a hard time finding us, just follow the white and blue Passage Maker and Trawler Port signs, and we can fill you in on some of the details. I want to mention some of the other builders that are here. There's a Swift Trawler 44, a Fleming 55, and gosh, believe it or not, I see one of the AGLCA commander sponsors walking down the dock, Curtis Stokes. Curtis, come on in and join us. We're on the here. And Curtis is one of the big brokers here in certainly Palm Beach, but really a big sponsor of many of the different shows and events, and also a sponsor of AGLCA. Curtis, say hello.
Hi there. I was wondering what you guys were up to huddled back here in the tent.
Good morning, Curtis. This is Janice. How you doing?
Good. Janice, how are you?
Great. Looking forward to seeing you at our rendezvous.
Well, we're looking forward to being up there. We'll have our usual display and information there. We even have a 42 Nordic tug that's going to be there on display that is attending. So it's going to be a great rendezvous.
Fantastic.
So, Curtis, thank you, and thanks for joining us here at Trawlerport. Some of the other builders include Outer Reef Yachts, Back Cove, Nordhaven. I see where HMY has some Grand Banks. Curtis mentioned Nordic tugs. There's an American tug 42 here, I believe, and I think the full line of the Ranger tugs. Certainly not to be outpaced by Hampton Yachts and Celine 43, I think the name of which is Livewire. Rigid Boats and Coolers, Prestige Tinning, Quick Line Ultra Anchors, Federal Hooks, and Pontaneous Insurance, many of the vendors that support AGLCA and the various vendors that make up really the core of the cruising boats that are part of both Trawler Port, Trawler Fest, and Passage Makers. So here's a little update from my perspective. It'll maybe give you a little better handle on what you might be able to see and get aboard if you come to the Palm Beach Boat Show. It's certainly beautiful weather. I think it was almost as hot yesterday as it was in Chicago, but it's been a great show, and I'm sure attendance is going to be picking up through the weekend. Curtis is here. He's going to sign off.
Got to get back and help the AGLCA members that have been stopping by. We had a great day yesterday. A few members stopped by to say hello.
Great.
And we'll get back over to Chris from here.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Curtis. And thank you, Rob, again for letting us share your tent as our broadcast booth for the Palm Beach Boat Show. A couple of things that I would like to review or preview. What is a boat show and why would you go to a boat show? The big question is, what is your purpose for attending the boat show, and how can you accomplish your goals in the time that you will be attending? If you're going for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. Also, if you're looking to buy a boat, or are you looking to accessorize a boat that you already own? I'll let Elise take over, and she'll explain some different features that you may want to look for if you're looking to purchase your perfect boat. Elise?
I'm here. I'm wishing that I was down there, but I'm taking care of my puppy. Just had some surgery. So through the wonder of technology, I'm going to talk to you about the things that I like to look for when I'm going to a boat show from the perspective of somebody that might be looking to buy a new boat. But the very first thing that we've got to discuss with people when they're working with us on what's the perfect boat, everybody asks that question, what's the perfect boat? Well, you have to establish what your mission for your boat is, because there's a lot of different perfect boats out there that aren't perfect for you if your mission is different than theirs. So are you going to be looping? Are you just going to be using your boat for weekending? Are you going to be going on extended cruises like loopers or maybe even crossing oceans? Do you want to be fast or slow? I'm going to caution you, you people that think you're going to get a fast boat to outrun a storm, doesn't happen. We've all been caught in nasty, unforecasted storms. So you have to establish what do you really want to do with your boat before you can find that perfect boat. And then,
Elise?
Yes?
Just one comment from my standpoint. We have had people do loop in everything imaginable. We have one person out there now doing it in the kayak. We've had people, somebody's rowing. We've had people do it on jet skis. We've had people do it on 17-foot outboards. And all the way up to 100-footers. So when, you know, Elise talks about you have to define what you want and what the mission is, it can be anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The first time we headed out onto the intercoastal on the east coast of the United States, we met up with a gentleman who was doing the loop in a rowing scull. It was amazing. And he blogged. It was early in 2000 when you did not have a lot of bloggers out there, and it was just amazing to follow along with him. But absolutely. So think about what your mission is, and when you're looking at the boats, start thinking about the roles that each one of you are going to take on. And I'm going to start from the mate's role, whoever's going to be handling lines or fending off or doing the anchoring duties, look at the way the boat is designed for you and your ability to scurry up to the bow or to the stern or up from the flybridge down to the lower deck. Think about it for you, because I can't tell you what's going to work for you. You have to be the one to tell you what's going to work for you. But imagine when you go stand on a boat, how would I handle lines? Would I be able to get a midship breast line out from my first line? Would I be able to handle the lines if there was nobody on the dock for me? Would I be able to talk to who's ever at the helm, who's ever doing the helmsman duties? So imagine yourself. It's a lot of visualization, much more than walking onto a boat and saying, wow, how beautiful. And then from the captain, from the helmsman perspective, do you have good visibility? If you have a lower helm station, do you have good visibility from lower helm station? Do you need a lower helm? Is your upper helm station set up the way, you know, it would work for you? If you're going through the boat inside the master stateroom, do you have enough elbow space? Do you have enough space in the master head? Can you stand up in the shower and wash your hair? I know this is going to sound crazy, but you know, you're going to be on a looping boat for at least 6 months, probably a year and maybe even longer. Can you shave your legs in the shower? Crazy as that seems, give it a shot. If you're sharing a bed, if you've got a nice queen-size bed, how do you get in and out of it? And can two of you get in and out of it independent of the other? Or do you have to wake somebody up to get them up? Then the discussion about one or two heads. Do you need two heads? Some people say it's not a problem. I can deal with one head. But if you've been dealing with two heads all your life in your land house, then maybe you might want to consider, is that an option? Practice for a little while, working with just one bathroom in your house. Then go to that holy place in the engine room. Is there space for you to get in there? Is there space for you to do your basic maintenance daily chores, checking the fluids and such? And if there's not space for one of you, well, is there space for the other? Is the other person a little bit smaller, a little bit more agile? Doesn't always have to be that Chris is down in the engine room. You know, I can get down there and do some things, especially if he's barking down orders at me, right? Then, anchoring. You want to definitely know that you have the right anchor equipment on your boat. And is it a deal breaker? No. You can get new anchor equipment if everything else about your boat is perfect. And then we talked a little bit about visibility from the lower helm station, but just visibility in general for maneuvering. When you're docking, when you're traveling down the intercoastline, you need to make sure that you're staying in the channel. Those are the kind of things that you want to look out for. So that's just a few little snippets of what I think when you go on to a new boat to look at a new boat to you. What are you gonna buy and why would you want to look for those kind of things?
That's great, Elise. Thank you very, very much. We are going to pause for a quick commercial break from Trollerfest.
Trollerfest, a boat show with so much more. Thursday, May 17th through Saturday, May 19th at the Cap Sante Boat Haven in Anacortes. Hours are 10 to 5 daily. Enjoy hands-on demonstrations, activities, land exhibits, seminars, and a marina full of boats to board. Trollerfest is fun for the whole family. For tickets and information, visit trollerfest.com or call 888-487-2953. Trollerfest is a proud Admiral sponsor of AGLCA.
Okay, Chris, why don't you pick up again, please?
Okay, I'm here. Okay, I'm going to handle the other side of the boat show, the land side or the land exhibits. And we're talking about accessorizing your boat. A couple of things to think about. To go to the different booths and the land exhibits, pre-plan your visit based on your wish list. What I'm suggesting is before you even leave home, just jot down a list of the kind of things that you wish you had to put on your boat to make it the perfect boat. If it's electronics, if it's anchoring equipment, anything like that, just make the list. when you arrive at the boat show, pick up the show program and go through the show program and circle all of the items that you want to visit, and then make a note of all of the booth numbers so that you can be sure to cover all of your items on your wish list. So that way you won't forget anything. You won't go home and say, I wish I had. Here at the Palm Beach Boat Show, there's a couple of notable vendors that I think that you may want to visit if you get to come to the Palm Beach Boat Show today. And if not, you can look them up on the Internet at any time. But some items that I ran around the boat show, it's a very large boat show. When I ran around the boat show, I noticed a couple of things specific to loopers that would be interesting. Fender hooks. Not only do they make a fender hook or a saddle to hold your fender onto the cap rail or the handrail of your boat, but they also offer inflatable fenders. Now, everybody doing the loop knows about the Erie Canal, and they hear all these stories about bales of hay, giant fenders, all these different kind of horror stories. By the way, the bales of hay aren't available anymore, and you should have large fenders, and depending on the size of your boat, three or four fenders, as large as possible. Now we're talking about how large is possible. With the Fender Hooks brand of inflatable fenders, you can buy these fenders, inflate them at the very first lock, and use them for the entire Erie Canal or the Oswego. And when you get into the Great Lakes, deflate them. That way they're a much smaller package, and they'll pack away in your lazarette very easy. And you won't have to deal with them again until you get to another lock weeks or months later.
Chris, we won't have to have big orange balls hanging from our boat anymore?
Right. That's a story that we've had a long time ago, big orange balls, because those were the fenders we had. We didn't have anywhere to put them, so we tied them up onto the flybridge, and we looked like a boat with M&Ms hanging off of the flybridge. Anyway, some other things here. All-purpose anchors. Everybody reads about this brand or that brand of anchor is an all-purpose anchor, but there's a brand here named Ultra, U-L-T-R-A, and we have been seeing the Ultra anchor at quite a few boat shows, and we got one just at the first of the year. The Ultra anchor is a plow style with a point, but their secret is it is concave, so that way it works in mud and sand. So if you want to look at the multi-purpose all-in-one anchor, in my opinion, that's about as close as you're going to get. And a side feature, because it's stainless steel, the mud slides off so easy. And I told that to Randy at Ultra Anchors, and he said, if you want to keep the mud sliding off, wax the anchor. So anybody out there with anchors, if you wax them, the mud won't stick to the anchor if you wax it. Sounds silly? Next time you're at a marina where you bow in, just put some wax, some cheap linoleum Johnson & Johnson floor wax on your anchor, and it helps. I know. I've witnessed it. It keeps your deck clean, too. Another thing that he's got, everybody keeps on talking about stern anchors. If you're in a river system where you have the current going downriver, if you're worried about wind coming up over the night and might blow you out into the channel, you may consider a stern anchor or tying the stern of the boat to a tree on the shoreline, which you would, of course, involve getting your dinghy out to dinghy over to the shoreline. But Quick Lines has a stern anchor system that's a web belt. It's on a giant reel, 300 feet long, and the amazing part about it is you bolt that reel onto the handrail of your boat, upper deck or lower deck, so you keep it out of the way. You get in your dinghy and you just pull it out, tie it onto the tree, come back, and you tie the other end of the web belt onto the boat cleat. Don't leave it tied onto the handrail. Tie it onto the boat cleat. So that's another space-saving smart idea. Some other things that I've seen, Brown's Transportation. Everybody's
talking about bicycles, but I saw what I call a mini bike back from the 70s and 80s. We had mini bikes. There's an outfit here selling foldingmotorbike.com. You want to look it up. It's foldingmotorbike.com. Interesting idea. And it folds up to a smaller space that you can put that on the back deck, on the flybridge, or maybe the lazarette. And a few more things, bow and stern thrusters. Some people talk about, I wish I had a bow thruster, or I wish I had a stern thruster. There is a company that makes external mounted bow thrusters. So even if you've got a 20-foot boat or a trailerable boat, this is a pod that would be mounted outside of the boat. So you don't have to worry about putting a tunnel through the boat. And I've looked at it. It's an interesting idea, and I believe it would be worthy of you looking into it. So that would be a bow and stern thruster, either or both. And last on my fascinating items, when I was coming from the hotel this morning in a shuttle bus, there was two gentlemen in the bus, and we knew we were all going to the boat show, and I asked them who they were and what they were doing, blah, blah, blah. And his name is Keith, formerly of Chicago, and he recently, January the 8th, moved to Vero Beach, which is where we live, Vero Beach, Florida. And he sells lighting systems for boats, and I dropped by his booth on the way to our tent for the radio show this morning, and he showed me what I feel is an exciting mini ribbon 12-volt LED light string. This is exciting. It's bright. And after the show this evening, I'm going to go back and learn more about it. But if you want to learn more about it, you can look at his website, boatlightstore.com. I'll say it again, boatlightstore.com. And look for the 12-volt string of ribbon lights. So that way you can put them around the cockpit, put them around the flybridge, put them around the floor in the saloon, put them around the valances in the saloon, put them anywhere you want. They're 12 volts, they're easy to install, and they're very, very bright. I was impressed with their brightness. Wrapping up, I've got a couple of more points that I want to share with you. Who knows about OptSail 2012?
I do.
Okay. OptSail is the largest gathering of sailboats in the world, in the entire world. OptSail 2012, this year, will be in Hampton Roads, Virginia, June 1st through June 12th. And all of you loopers, hopefully you'll be in Norfolk, Virginia for the Great Loop Rendezvous, which is going to be May 7-10. And I don't know if you want to stick around for another month, but if you want to see all of these sailboats, they will be there for a full 12 days, the first week of June. And as a bonus, they're going to have a tall ship fleet and they're going to have a gray fleet. The gray fleet are all the naval ships of the world, the United States, Russia, Argentina, Chile. All of the navies will have a ship there. So
Chris,
it's going
where
to
is that staged in Hampton Roads, right downtown? Or
they will be, Hampton Roads is a combination of Norfolk, Portsmouth, and Hampton, Virginia. All three towns.
Okay, thank you.
And Newport News, right there within a stone's throw of the hotel. So
that's going to be terrific. Real close to where the rendezvous is going to be held, Janice.
Uh-huh.
When we were there in 2000, we literally stumbled on it because we thought we were going to have to go all the way up to New York to see it. And they had the parade of the tall ships coming in from the ocean into Hampton Roads through the Chesapeake. And it was the most magnificent thing. If you're anywhere around or can adjust your schedule at all, it is just a phenomenal thing to see.
I'm thinking of going up again in June. I would love to see that. It sounds magical.
And many of the boats will be open for tours after they come in from the parade. So it's just fantastic to see some of these magnificent ships, both sailing and all their below deck stuff. Sometimes they'll show you that as well.
That sounds great. Thank you for sharing that.
Okay, another interesting boat here. Let me set this up for you first. Anybody with kids or grandkids knows who Thomas the Train is? Well, we have Theodore the Tug. Theodore the Tug is here. It's a Nova Scotian-built wooden tugboat, which was used in the cartoon on PBS. I think it was PBS television. And
yeah,
it was Theodore the Tug. And I don't know exactly how big it is, but it looks like it's about 75 feet long. It's a blank hull with a mustard tan house, and the wheelhouse on the top of the tug, the bow of the tug, doesn't have windshields. It's got two big eyeballs and a baseball hat. So Theodore the Tug number two is here at the Palm Beach Boat Show. And I don't know the web page for it, but if you can Google Theodore the Tug, I assume that you can find it on the internet. So that's another interesting boat, something great for the kids, and it does a tour every couple of years to South Florida in the wintertime where the weather is nice. Some other things to think about. We all know about the electronics for your vessel, and there's so many different electronics out there, it's almost mind-boggling to even try to start looking. And that's one reason why we ask you to make your plan for the boat show. Are you going to focus on electronics? Because that can consume a lot of your time. But a few things that we've learned at the boat shows recently in 2012 in South Florida, Bluetooth technology. A lot of these GPS chart plotter radar companies are now offering Bluetooth technology for remote access over the entire boat, which means your smartphone, your Droid or your iPhone, can be connected to your GPS chart plotter radar anchor alarm system, depth gauge, and you can take your smartphone to bed with you. And if something goes bump in the night, instead of getting out of bed and crawling all the way back up to the pilot house to look around, see what's going on, you just turn on your smartphone, and through Bluetooth wireless technology, you can see everything on the instruments on your flybridge right in your hand in your smartphone. So that's kind of a genius idea. I don't know if you, meaning the world, our listening audience, is aware of that, but I wasn't, so that's interesting. Other things, AIS, automatic identification system, where ships and now private boats can transmit the name of their boat, their MMSI number, their course, direction, and speed, so that way you can monitor that big blip on your radar and see what he is, how big he is, how fast he's going, and where he's going, so you can avoid a collision course. The AIS
also
has become... Go ahead.
Chris, I just wanted to interject that as much as 3 or 4 years ago, AIS was pretty expensive, but it's come down in cost amazingly. So where you might have read about it and said, no, that's not on my list, you might want to reconsider it because they've gotten, first of all, you've got a couple of options. You can either have the A or the B, which obviously one is going to be a little bit more expensive than the other, but you can have one where you see everybody else, but they just don't see you, and then another where you see and are seen. But the prices have come down incredibly, so it might now be affordable for somebody who maybe it wasn't initially.
No, he needs it tonight.
I'm sorry.
I'm on the radio.
I'm sorry. There was somebody looking to borrow the ladder out of the tent. You
well,
know how boat shows are.
Anything else you wanted to add?
Chris,
oh, yeah.
Is there anything else?
Two other things of interest. Electric outboard motors for your dinghy. And you think, well, why would anybody want an electric outboard motor? I've met somebody who has one and loves it and sells me on the reason he's got it. You don't want to put gasoline below decks. So he's got an electric outboard motor, When he finishes using it, he takes it off of his dinghy, puts it in the lazarette. He deflates his dinghy, folds it up, and puts it in the lazarette. And all that stuff's gone. It's out of his way when he has to go through the locks. So the electric outboard motor has a place in our world. And there's a new outboard motor called Lehr, L-E-H-R, and I believe that's the world's first propane outboard motor. So that way you take those little green propane tanks you put on your barbecue pit, you can screw it onto that outboard motor and run it for 3 hours on one green can of propane. And again,
wow,
you can unscrew that green can and put that motor below decks because there's no explosion hazard because there's no flammable gas inside that outboard motor when you put it below decks. So I guess wrapping it all up, the weather's great. Palm Beach Boat Show, I'm going to have to guess, has over 1,000 boats in water on display and has a lot of booths on land, both air-conditioned tents and tents outside in the sun and the wind. So pretty much, if you're looking for it, it's here this weekend.
Well, fantastic. Chris and Elise, thank you so much. Rob, if you're still around, thank you, too, and especially for your sponsorship all. I have an exciting offer I'd like to tell our non-members about. Any non-member listening on AGLCA blog radio, and that's how you found out about us, if you'd like to attend our rendezvous in May in Norfolk, we will offer you a free AGLCA membership. If anyone is interested, you can call me at 877-478-5667. I'm at extension 5040, and that wraps up our show for today. Thank you all. We'll be back next week when Captain Sterling Kennedy will be taking us on a cruise of the St. Johns River in Florida. Thank you all.
See you all. Bye. Fun, Boo.
Bye. See you in May in Norfolk.
Yep. Looking forward.